coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, Tuesday, May 24th, 2022. A lot to get into this segment. Next segment, Stan Dale from standale.com. I just want to kind of start off with the assertive statements. We have reached the limits of speech. I want you to think about that statement. Now, Tucker Carlson last night, love him, hate him, don't care, I don't really care. The message was on point, and the fact is that Biden has created, a couple of things. The Biden regime, which is really the Obama 2.0 globalist party of Davos people, okay, they have installed themselves in the executive branch and in other branches, the other branches of government, the two other branches, and all throughout the court system, all throughout corporate America, all throughout academia. And now they are racing, of course, to shut us down. By us, I'm talking about the Christian conservatives. Christian conservatives, specifically as a target by these globalist monkeys. All right. Now, one of the things I consider extremely important is free speech, obviously. And I want to just put this plug out there. If you haven't done so already, Wisconsin Christian News, not just for Wisconsin. You know, the value of this paper that I can actually hold like this and the contents, just it's folks, you need this. But more importantly, as costs rise, transportation costs rise, as the freedom, the arbiters of what they deem to be truth, as they come down extremely hard on hardcore Christian commentary, conservative commentary, they're going after Wisconsin Christian News. And by extension, every person that writes for them, including me. Folks, go to WisconsinChristianNews.com, subscribe, get the hard copy, get the digital copy, and even more importantly, please, please, please do me a favor. Do me a solid on this one. Please donate because they need it. Okay. Now, that's a plug for Wisconsin Christian News, but it's not really a plug. It's a plea. There's a difference there because our speech is under attack, which brings me back to we have reached the limits of speech. Okay, now, I mentioned Tucker Carlson, and he said a couple of things in his monologue opening segment last night that I found to be right on point. Now, there was a long lead up to what you're about to see and hear. There was a long lead up. I'm not going to play that long lead up. I'm just going to play a few select parts of his monologue. And then I want to get into what is going on at Davos and our good friend, my good friend, colleague, Jack Posobiec, of course, what happened to him at Davos. And these moronic Muppets at Davos. But by the way, did you know Tulsi Gabbard is one of the, not presently, but one of the disciples of the party of Davos? Tulsi Gabbard, yeah, you think that this doesn't have far-reaching effects. Not that I'm saying that she's doing anything wrong. I just want to identify the participants and people involved in this. Oh, an announcement before I go any further. Tomorrow, I've been subpoenaed. I've got to provide some. I've got to travel tomorrow. Okay, I've got to provide some testimony. So, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do my best to make it back in time for tomorrow's show. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's going to depend on what happens. So it's out of my hands, but anyway, just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. All right. So I want to get into this because I think this sets the stage for everything else that we're going to be talking about. The fact that we've reached the limits of speech, and the fact that the party of Davos, of course, they're meeting in Davos right now. And I also want to share this with you. Think about this. You know, we talk about the World Economic Forum, but do we really know where this came from? And the more I study history, the more I am just not shocked, but interested in seeing how many key things happened or began in 1971, okay? Including the establishment of the World Economic Forum. Well, who established it? Klaus Schwab, right? No. I'm going to tell you who established it. It was Henry Kissinger, Herman Kahn, and John Galbraith. Now, Henry Kissinger, of course, I had met him at the Waldorf Astoria back in, I think it was 86. Big deal, right? Seriously, big deal. But at least I saw him in the flesh, and anyway, I don't even know why I mentioned that, except it was just a surreal experience. And you know, when the little hairs on the back of your neck stand up, I'm telling you, that was a case, my case. Okay. So Henry Kissinger, Herman Kahn, and you might say, well, who's Herman Kahn? Well, you know, Henry Kissinger, the U.S. Department of State under Nixon, CIA-funded Harvard course he started and superintended. And then Herman Kahn, the founder of the Hudson Institute, also known non-affectionately as the real Dr. Strangelove. That's Herman Kahn, K-A-H-N. You can look him up. And John Galbraith. And again, the 1971, the first meeting of the World Economic Forum in Davos, sponsored by, guess who sponsored this? Okay, come on, you can guess. If you've been listening to Proctor about his work, but it's sponsored by the Club of Rome. Oh, wait, that's a real thing? Yeah, it's a real thing. And you'll be interested to know that Stan Deo's book, Cosmic Conspiracy, addresses what the Club of Rome wanted to do, and this is back early on in the 70s, and splitting up the world into 10 regions. Divide the world into 10 regions or territories. But at any rate, we have reached the limits of speech. And it's showing. This is all going to connect. I'm going to play a little bit of Tucker Carlson again to set the stage about where this is all going, because as I told someone earlier today, this is only going to get worse. This is only going to get worse. It was on a different topic, but wow. All right. If you don't mind, let's start at 10:55 into the monologue, Tucker Carlson. This is kind of the summation, but this to me is the important part. Go ahead.
Angrier since that day. So where's this going? Well, it's going the only place it ever could go. Democrats have reached the logical end of name calling. Why? Because they've run out of epithets. Once you've accused your political opponents of being Nazis, white supremacists, and then of treason, you have reached the limits of language. When you're dealing with someone who's committed treason, it is now a law enforcement matter. People are going to have to be physically punished. So not surprisingly, that is what they are now calling for. Arrest them! All of a sudden, you're hearing a lot of liberals say that. Not just the crazies, but the mainstream people. Willard Mitt Romney, a man who's probably never used the F word in his entire life, is suddenly accusing Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, one of the most reasonable people ever to serve in the body, of treason. Not accusing her of being mistaken or wrong, but accusing her of betraying her country even as she serves it in uniform. What's the penalty for that? Well, it's prison, at least. Watch.
Tulsi Gabbard is being accused of spreading Russian false flag propaganda.
Yeah. And I think DOJ, in the same way that it is setting up a task force to investigate oligarchs, should look into people who are Russian propagandists and shilling for Putin.
They used to arrest people for doing stuff like this. If they thought you were colluding with a Russian agent, if they thought you were putting out information or taking information and handing over to Russia, yeah. They used to actually investigate stuff like this. And I guess now, you know, there seems to be no bars.
Yeah, it's The View. They're harpies. They're ridiculous. They're stupid. All true. But what was so surprising is that that wasn't even considered much of a news story. It's that common. A liberal fundraising group called Call to Action is now demanding the arrest of Clarence Thomas's wife, Ginny Thomas, someone who, as far as we know, hasn't done anything wrong apart from marrying a man that liberals don't like.
All right, so pause that right there. You see where this is going, okay? Understand where this is going. Yeah, The View, who cares? Who cares what a bunch of post-menopausal women or whatever, I don't even know, okay? I don't know. Are they women? Are they men? Are they trans? Are they LGBTQ, RSVP? I don't know. But look, this is where it's going. Arrest them or worse. All right, you can cut that off there, I suppose. This is where this is headed. Words now have run the course. And please understand, words mean things, as Rush Limbaugh used to say. What Tucker Carlson is subtly saying is what I've been saying now for a long time. We're done talking. It's over. There's nothing to talk about. When you've got nothing in common with the person you are supposed to coexist with, it is over. So this is where we're headed right now. Where? Specifically where? Now, he talks about, I'm sorry, I've watched so many video clips over the last 24 hours. It was Alex Jones who was talking about this, but the same, more or less the same issues, and that is the fact that when words are done, when they're exhausted, when they fail, what happens? It goes kinetic to some point. Now, do we want that? Of course not. Who in the heck wants, you know, a civil war in their own country? And that weakens the country. And, of course, that invites invasion from abroad, which we've talked about this as well. And people may say, well, that'll never happen. Okay, well, a lot of things that you who are listening to this in a critical way say, that'll never happen. How many times have you said that, and how many times have you seen, well boy, it happened, right? But you'll never admit that. So we cannot, I guess the bottom line here is we cannot, we've got nothing in common. Divorce is necessary at the very, an amicable divorce is better than, well, you know. Okay, so this is where we're at. Now, how does this connect with what's going on in Davos? How does this connect with all things going on from, you know, monkeypox to sex with, I'm going to tell you, this monkeypox, get into it. Once you start digging into the origins of monkeypox, you know, I'm telling you, Eric the Tech, I got to tell you, it's like a chapter from RFK Jr.'s book, Dr. Fauci. Talking about HIV/AIDS and the infrastructure built into the injecticide stuff and what he did with monkeys. And it's just horrible. It's just horrible. How you doing, Eric the Tech? You doing all right?
Doing good.
You know, he's got a birthday coming up and, well, just next week. It's next week, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, see, you didn't hit the mic key. So he said, yes, I do. So next week, we'll all wish Eric the Tech a happy birthday. But nonetheless, okay. But here's the deal with this. We are at a point now where we have to put up or shut up. It's as simple as that. I'm going to play this. This is video one. This is Alibaba Group President J. Michael Evans at Davos. 25 seconds long, but a 25-second audio or video, audio clip, whatever, that tells you a lot. Here it is, J. Michael Evans at Davos. Go ahead.
We're developing, through technology, an ability for consumers to measure their own carbon footprint. What does that mean? That's, where are they traveling? How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform? So, individual carbon footprint tracker. Stay tuned. We don't have it operational yet, but this is something that we're working on.
Okay. Number one, hey, J. Michael Evans, you can bite me. All right. You can kiss my, you know what, because I don't care what you are developing. I don't care what you want to impose upon us. Bite me. You're not going to do it to me. You're not going to do it to my children. And by the way, you know, they're old enough to fight their own battles. And you're certainly not going to do it to my grandchildren. This is what we're fighting. We're fighting this subjugation of our liberties, of our freedom. And again, man, I got to say it again. And our God-given freedoms and rights. Our rights come from God Almighty, the God of the Bible. No other God but the God of the Bible, of the Holy Bible. And we are allowed as Christians, in fact, no, we are required as Christians to fight for them. Now, we're going to go to, on the show prep notes, page number two. What happens when you are living in a society, in an environment, in a venue, in this warped environment where the media, totally bought off, totally bought and paid for, totally compromised? What happens when they brainwash a segment of society so bad that it's difficult sometimes for you to even walk out the door and not become or not be impacted by the lies of the contemptible media? Lynn Lector from the American Thinker had a very short piece up, and this was her trip to the dry cleaners. Attacked at the local dry cleaner for my politics. And you can read this. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Very simply stating, and I'll just kind of address the setup here. She was standing in line at her laundry, dry cleaners, before heading to work. And a man leaving the store stopped, looked at her and said, "You're an intelligent woman." And he started into this January 6th diatribe, and his belief of an absolute intent on that day of Republicans, but I would say freedom fighters, to overthrow the American government through revolution, which would culminate in the murder of Vice President Pence. Well, who's peddling that? The very same people you saw moments ago from Tucker Carlson on The View. The very same media that hosts all of these programs, and the very same print media, sans Wisconsin Christian News, that are peddling this crap. The very same intelligence community I spoke of yesterday that's behind the coordination of this information. So this is where we're going. We've reached the limits of speech, and you can see it in playing out as documented by Lynn Lechner of the American Thinker. So what happens when we report on things such as Davos? Okay, Jack Posobiec is over in Davos right now. And he's reporting on what these people are saying at Davos. Before I get to Jack, and I'm sorry, Eric the Tech, on this, kind of, and I'm doing this out of order, so you forgive me. But folks, one of the things, this is also a page, this is page 3 in the show notes. Again, HagmanReport.com if you want to read everything in its entirety. But I would urge you to pull up this document from the .gov website. The House passed the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act, which targets Americans' thought and speech. This is an article that was published yesterday by Eric Utter. Now, the U.S. House of Representatives recently passed. This is not new news, but this is foundation. If you watch trial shows or trials and whatever, you build a foundation. So H.R. 350 was recently passed by the House. It's the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act. It was passed by a margin of 222 to 203. It was really along party lines. Every single leftist, communist, socialist, moron, and one Muppet from the right, and that's Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, gee, what a surprise, voted to approve this piece of crap legislation, which when you look at this, and I don't know if you can do this, Eric the Tech, but if you click on that, you can, if you click on the actual link to H.R. 350, yeah, you don't have to do it because you know what, don't worry about it. But go through this. This will create an environment of criminality that should never exist in a free society. Whereas if you are considered ultra MAGA, which is, that was not a spontaneous utterance by the potato in chief, Joey Two Scoops or Joey Six Plugs. This was a campaign against Christian conservatives. And I'm going to say, Christian conservatives for the people on the right. Because really, at the end of the day, my Bible tells me that the Christians will be the victims in this. They're coming after the Christians. I throw in conservative because conservative values and the conservative morals are molded into the Christian ethic or ethos. So here we have the ongoing battle, words done, actions being implemented. People like J. Michael Evans bite me at Davos saying, this is what we're going to do for surveillance purposes. The House passing H.R. 350 targeting Christian and Christian conservatives. They have and are right now planning, along with the WHO and others, they're planning right now, they're planning our demise. They want to kill us all, enslave us, and you may not believe that, but you better believe it. So our good friend and Jack Posobiec, a good friend of the show, good friend of mine, is over in Davos right now. And he's reporting on what's taking place there. Well, despite the fact that the people at Davos are making everything public through webinar style, you know, you can see what they're saying. They don't want people to get like the real vibe, the real stuff that's going on the streets, in the hallways, in the dark corners of Davos. They don't want that. But Jack pursues that, and here is what happened. This is a clip from Bannon's War Room. I think it was today. I could be wrong. It might have been. Yeah, it was today. It was today. It had to be today. Again, when you're doing this 24/7, everything kind of just jumbles together. But watch this, and pay very special attention to one thing. And this one thing, let's see if you and I come to the same question at the end of this, okay? Let's see if you and I have the same question slash concern at the end of not this entire clip, because the entire clip's like 15 minutes. We'll just play a few minutes at the beginning as Jack relates the experience, what happened, and you can see it unfold if you're watching this by way of Rumble or Brighteon. whatever platform you may be watching this on. Go ahead and play. This would be video two.
Let's also be clear. The future is not just happening. The future is built by us, by a powerful community as you here in this room. We have the means to improve the states of the world. But two conditions are necessary. The first one is that we act all as stakeholders of larger communities, that we serve not our only self-interests, but we serve the community. That's what we call stakeholder responsibility. And second, that we collaborate. And this is the reason why you find many opportunities here during the meeting to engage into very action and impact-oriented initiatives to make progress related to specific issues on the global agenda.
Jack Basaba, boy,
right, just
man,
pause up for a second.
Security
just pause okay, keep that up there. Look, Klaus Schwab bite me, Davos, talking like this. I'm not a stakeholder in any of your crap. I'm not buying anything you're selling. I am not signed on to whatever you might be contracting out, despite the fact that many globalist corporations are, despite the fact that you've got embedded politicians all across the world, despite the fact that your minions are out there waging war against Christian conservatives, you can bite me. So Jack Posobiec on the streets of Davos, he's going out, he is exposing not just what you see, but the stuff that you don't see, which is much more important than what you do see. Go ahead and continue with this.
Davos, Jack Posobiec's loose in Davos. We're going to have constant updates from Jack over the next couple of days, and Jack may just bounce out.
Still there? Well, I was just waiting for Campbell. I don't know. I don't think so.
For radio listeners, here's Jack at a restaurant with his film crew.
Excuse me, can I ask you why you're detaining this journalist?
Please.
Can you put the phone away, please?
Can I ask you why you're detaining this journalist?
I don't answer your question.
Is it we're not able to report here?
Please put
Excuse me?
Phone away.
Okay. Can I ask you guys why
you're
being
detained? Can you, can you please stop filming? Then we can talk.
Why do I need to stop filming?
Because I ask you to. It's my personal right because I don't like to be filmed.
Okay.
And it's a right in Switzerland. If I don't want to
but
be filmed...
But should I ask why he's being detained then?
Tooties
I won't point
there.
The camera at you then. I won't film you, but I would like to know why this journalist is being detained on public property.
What's detained? Can you explain
how come
the word?
He's being surrounded right now? Is he allowed to leave the area?
We're just making a normal police control because, you know, it's WEF, everything is very sensitive.
Is there a reason he specifically was targeted?
There is a reason because we have to have a reason to control a person.
What was the reason? What was he doing?
I don't have to tell you that. Why are you asking me that?
Because this is, there's many journalists here, and I want to know why he specifically is being detained.
There is a reason, but everything is clear now, and we're about to leave in just a few seconds.
Thank you.
Okay? Could you please now, can I ask you please to delete your...
All right.
Why am I not allowed to record?
Please don't.
Isn't this a public street?
It is. But actually, I don't like it to be on a video.
I can take it off.
Well, that's very...
Grab your document
sure.
On the phone.
Take it off, please.
Yeah. Do you want to take a picture of it?
Yes.
We're keeping everybody safe.
Drop it. Your iPhone. You can show me, and then I can...
All right. For the radio listeners... watching this play out. I don't know if you can.
Can you put your handy away?
I'm sorry?
Can you put your phone away?
Am I not allowed to film?
No.
Why not?
Not during the police control.
Why is that?
It's not allowed here.
On the public street?
Yes.
Is that a law in Switzerland?
Here it's not allowed. Please put it away.
Not familiar with that law?
Please put it away.
Seems like you just don't want me to film.
Sir, please put it away.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So you can pause it right there. In fact, you can stop that right there. Who are those police? Are they the city of Davos? Look, I know this is not the United States, but who are those police? Eric the Tech, I'm going to put you, not put you on the spot, but I'm going to ask you a question. I couldn't see with precision from here if the identification identifying patches came were visible. Did you see who they work for?
I wasn't paying attention.
No, that's fine. He never listens. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, it's not something you would pay attention to normally, right? Because you would think, okay, these cops or these are police officers for the city or for the community, whatever. Zero in on those patches. You know what they say? Police, World Economic Forum. Okay, I realize that's not the United States of America. I realize that. I get that. But this is the state of the globalist policing, and this will be, in whatever iteration might follow, this will be what comes to your community wherever you are at to enforce what I was speaking about earlier. When words stop, when we have reached the limit of speech, and now we are forced to fight back, who's going to be on the opposing side? Is it going to be your local community sheriff or not? No, it's not going to be. They are working to impose or to employ their own private police force. And you saw it ahead of everyone else right there. Since when does a private organization have a private police force? Now, you may say, well, think about campuses. They've got their own private police in America, you know. No, no, no. That's apples to oranges. These are police officers or ostensibly law enforcement acting on behalf of a private organization. That should, I don't care if it's in Davos or if it's in Delaware, that should really get your attention. But people aren't paying attention to that fact. People are saying, oh, okay, it's the police. Okay, we have to, wait a second. Who do they answer to, the mayor? Or Klaus Schwab? And why? So the takeaway from this segment is this. Yes, yes, Jack Posobiec was detained at Davos, but why? Well, according to the lesbionic Jen Psaki 2.0, look at, I don't know what that was. We don't have to tell you. All right, and I don't like to be filmed. What is detained? Okay. We have reached the limits of speech. Now there will be kinetic action. We have the infrastructure here in America by way of H.R. 350, the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act, passed last week. You see Jack Posobiec going over to Davos and others, exposing what's going on behind the scenes, being stopped by a private police force. This will be used as a model to come to America and other Western countries, as it already has been. We've already seen this through the execution of law enforcement detail during the COVID lockdowns. There's so much wrong with those two words, especially when they're together. Now, what are we going to see? We're going to see it through climate change, as you heard, carbon footprint, as you heard, more pandemics, as you know. The template is there for everyone to see. This is what is going to be taking place now here in America. And many mayors, many governors, many members of Congress, they've already signed on. Now it's up to us to fight. One last thing, and then I'm going to bring, and I showed you too, a result or a consequence of the media's complicity in pushing this agenda through Lynn Lecter's American Thinker piece being accosted at the dry cleaners. But one last other thing that I can't jump over. If you go to page one, you know, we're sending so much money. And by the way, Ukraine, a subject at Davos, right? They got to keep the war going. But you think, Biden, that Biden regime and company, they care about Ukrainian borders. Page one, Roger Marshall, war zone at the U.S.-Mexico border, worse than what I saw at Poland-Ukrainian border, Breitbart. Don't stop paying attention to what's going on here. Despite the fact that Title 42 is not implemented or is not lifted, the fact that that it was even considered to be lifted has emboldened these people. All who have been given smartphones, all who have been given money by NGOs, the very same NGOs who are active in the party of Davos and the Davos group, we have to identify out these companies and we have to fight against this. This is a full-fledged invasion at the southern border, and this is part and parcel to the entire agenda of what is taking place against Christian conservatives. This is replacement. This is demographic replacement. Don't think of people say, well, oh, that's hate speech or that's not true. No, it is true. They want to replace us. Don't, I'm going to tell you, they want to kill us. They want to replace us. They want to put us in jail. They want us to suffer. But more importantly, they want our kids to suffer, our children to suffer. And don't piss me off by touching my child, my grandchildren. Do not do that. This is what's coming, in addition to the possibility of an external threat as well. All right. If it's Tuesday, it's Tuesdays with Stan Dale from standale.com. I'm going to tell you what, this guy is an intellectual. He's a real Indiana Jones in my view. He's got a lot of great stuff at his website, standale.com. And I love this man. I love the knowledge that he has. I wish I would have like one-tenth of the information that he's got about things that are impactful to everything from climate disturbances to the sun, to all things space, to all things here on Earth. And that's not an overstatement. That's not hyperbole. That's just fact. Stan Dale from standale.com. And if you haven't done so already, please join his Patreon and support him that way. He's got some great meetings on a monthly basis. And also protect yourself through EMP Shield. EMPShield.com. And for an added bonus, if you use the promo code Hagman, you get $50 off your purchase, and you can buy more than one, and there's discounts for bulk purchases at empshield.com, promo code Hagman. And I'm going to tell you, he's the brains, really the main brains behind EMP Shield. This will protect you in the event of a solar storm, EMP, some, you know, whoops, or a Carrington event, you know, naturally occurring thing. This will protect your stuff, your electronic stuff. From your generator to your house to your boat to your car, whatever. All right. With that, I've taken enough time. Stan Dale, standale.com. Stan, thanks for your patience. Thanks for your flexibility. God bless you, my friend. How you doing?
Oh, good. Do you think they'll put us in the same prison camp?
That would be a mistake. First of all, you just got to say this. I ain't going to no prison camp, okay? So if they come to get me, I hope they don't have families at home. I may not survive. I probably won't survive, but neither will they. Go ahead.
Gotcha. Speaking of that, let me see if I've got this here. Yeah. On slide 51, it's something kind of pertinent for those people who get taken to the prison camp for some reason or another. It's about the tunnel system that Mexico, you know, that the illegal drug cartels are using to get across to the United States. And if I could just get to the, see if I get to the picture of that. Yeah. If you click on the picture, slide 51, Eric, this is kind of to give you an idea of what we need to do if we are finding ourselves locked up in a camp somewhere, is how we make our tunnels out. Need light, need air, need reinforcement. And, but these devils are doing that to get the drugs into the United States. Unbelievable, but people use them.
You know, I've got some stuff that could be used to, I shouldn't even say that. Why can't we just, how can I put this? Bomb them. How's that? A missile would be fine.
You got to find these things first. I mean, it started in Tijuana somewhere, in a factory district or somewhere, goes under the border. I mean, it's six floors down, right? It's a deep tunnel, so that just normal scanning for that is not going to pick it up. And then it comes up inside of a factory somewhere in a back office, in a little square hole like that, like you saw. And, you know, until you somehow or another get wind of it, you can't, bomb it or do whatever you need to. But, I'm sure you could close the tunnel, put gas and various other things down to be sure that it's no longer used.
Yeah.
Or just blow it up. But I don't know what that'd do to structures in between, you know, on top side if it causes a structural failure. But anyway.
Well, we could use a hell of a lot of cement and, throw some poisonous gas in there first and then cement it up and see what comes out, where it comes out the other side, and then bomb the hell out of the other side, in my view. This is an invasion. And by the way, they're bringing over fentanyl, stuff that'll kill Americans, and Biden, that bastard, that Joey Six Plugs, Three Scoops, you know what? I'm tired of this. I don't want to be invaded. I don't want these creepy crawlers coming into the United States. So I'll shut up now. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I agree. It's this is just one of them that we've found, but this shows you the organization that these drug cartels have and the money they've thrown at this, obviously, because they're making gazillions from the drug trade and from the human trafficking and all that kind of stuff. But looking at that picture there, I mean, the sophistication of that tunnel system, that's better than most miners get when they're mining, you know, gold or various other things. So, yeah, it's a concentrated, well-financed effort.
Yeah, it's not organic. And you know, I'm tired. I'm just tired of this, Stan. I'm tired of all this. I really am. I'm tired of the fact that we've got this this vegetable in the Oval Office installed by corrupt means and people. And you know what? I'll tell you what. Let's send some posses down to the border. And if we need to, let's lay down some strafing fire. And, you know, I don't want to hit women or children, but you do this a few times. Throw a head on a stake in the well-trafficked areas, and they'll get the message. You know what? We can cut this down really quickly. That's my view, because you want to get to this country, do it the right way. There's no other country on the planet that allows this to happen. And, you know, we have to start addressing this. And people better start paying attention and better start handling this. That's all I got to say. You know what? I got too many. Go ahead. You take this, because I just can't continue.
I understand. I mean, look, President Trump, I have it there in slide 53, is mentioning kind of obliquely, they say, that we're having an internal revolution or civil war in this country. And of course, they're the people reporting and saying, oh, he's inciting civil war and all that kind of stuff. But he's just telling it like it is. You and I both know that we can't wait until November elections and then till January, the first week of January, when the newly elected officials take their positions in the Congress. Because, you know, I mean, that's, what is this? This is May, June coming up. We got 6 months, a little over 6 months, to replace these guys legally, you know, by the electoral system. But they shouldn't even be there, because they cheated, you know, at the polls to get there. So at some point in time, we have to realize, like you're saying, we have been invaded and we've been taken over partially. And if we don't get out there and stop them now, then, you know, come January of next year, we're done. That's I don't even know if we're going to be able to have a fair election. I hope so. But, you know, Trump.
Well, 7 days ago, a week ago today, was Pennsylvania primaries. You know what, Stan? Okay, this is what gets my goat. They're still counting the Senate votes, and they're still counting these undated ballots. Okay, they're looking for undated ballots, and I fault the GOP on this just as much as the left. For the love of everything that's holy, why in the hell are we doing this? It's 7 days when we don't know the winner of the Pennsylvania primary for the Senate race, whether it's the man from Oz or whoever. And there's a lot of chicanery going on, and who benefits? Emerald Robinson did a really good piece on this by saying, you know what, that third in running is kind of behind a lot of this shenanigans. So, but you're right, 100%. So we're 7 days past that, and we're over 2 weeks since the SCOTUS leak. We don't know the identity of that. We don't know we don't know anything. And you know what? It's insanity to think that 2022 is going to make a flip bit of difference. 2024, that's a pipe dream in my view if we don't fix what happened last November, you know, in November of 2020, then we're just peeing up a rope. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's we've known about it for some time that that was the only way that this is going to be resolved. And of course, Soros and his ilk, they've been sitting back kind of laughing, because no matter which way we go, America is going to suffer greatly and perhaps be lost. If we have, we had a civil war and we stood up and we took out the people and locked them up that stole the country from us, then this creates chaos in the country, and probably UN troops and whatever will come in, and whoever's in the White House will order martial law. A lot of us will be locked up. And, you know, that hurts. But if we don't do anything, a lot of us are going to be locked up and our resources taken away from us, if not killed, if, you know. So we're darned if we do, darned if we don't. So Soros and his ilk will probably sit back there with brandy kind of going, just like we planned this great chess move. And there's no way they can go now. We got them in the corner.
Well, I got to say this in kind of piggybacking off what you said in the first segment. I mentioned your book, Cosmic Conspiracy, because where we're at right today was mapped out long ago. And in 1971, the World Economic Forum was established by Kissinger, Henry Kissinger, Herman Kahn, and John Galbraith. And the first meeting held in Davos was sponsored by none other than the Club of Rome. And the Club of Rome is behind they're the architects of what you have in Cosmic Conspiracy. See, folks, Cosmic Conspiracy, intellectual work product of Stan Dale, there it is on your screen, okay, contains the blueprint for what we're living through today. And, you know, look, it's undeniable. And by the way, you can buy the final edition in you can buy it right now. Am I correct in this? You still have, this is still available. Okay.
Yeah, sure. They can click there on that site, on our website main page, and you'll see a picture of the Cosmic Conspiracy. It's interesting you mentioned that, because I spent a bit of time in the last few days thinking about that book and when I wrote it and the things that happened after I published it. And, one thing that really kind of puzzled me and still puzzles me is, why did the Illuminists, you know, these great lights out there trying to organize the planet their way, why did they let me live? Why didn't they try to discredit the book or something? Because the blueprint was there. And even former Secretary of Defense, Jim Schlesinger, when he was down in Australia with President Clinton, a former president at the time, he sent a message to me through a civilian saying that they have a copy of my book there in the Department of Defense and in the Oval Office and whatever. And that he was talking to this lady, a civilian there in Canberra. And he said, if you want to know about UFOs, because she asked him about that, he couldn't tell her, you know, secrecy and all that. But if you want to know the game plan, what's happening, what's behind all that, go and read this guy's book, me being, you know, the guy he's talking about. So he has it. Prince Charles has it in his library. Reagan had it in his library. Lord Mountbatten and Prince Charles' dad, the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, all of them had copies of my book, and yet they let me live. But there's the blueprint in that book that I published in 1978, that the good Lord, you know, directed that book. I don't think I will ever write another book. Anyway, there's not time that will replace that as a major witness piece for people who are in the know to tell others what's about to happen and how to deal with it through the Lord and, you know, and how to be protected. So yeah, that book. Yeah, and I was thinking back in about 1986, something like that. The book had been out for like 7 or 8 years. And I was in the kitchen in our home there in Wollaston, which is just north of Perth, probably 10 miles. And I was standing in the kitchen by the phone of the house, and it rang. And so I picked it up. It was midday. And there's this guy at the other end with a British accent. And he says, oh, hi, is this Stan Deo? Did you write The Cosmic Conspiracy? Yeah. And, you know, we got a lot of calls at that time from people that were wanting to interview or talk about the book. And so I said, how can I help you? And he says, well, look, this is going to be an unusual request. I work with Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, and we're organizing an expedition over to Egypt to a dig, an archaeological dig that a woman archaeologist over there has asked us to come and assist with. Apparently, she has uncovered the front door to the tomb of Alexander the Great there in Egypt, right close to the sea, where Alexandria, you know, sank when the tsunami hit and everything. So she was in an area right on the shoreline there, and it was leaking, and she was going to need help and funding to dry it out. But she said, the guy said to me, what she showed us is something from the front page, the cover of your book, The Cosmic Conspiracy. And we'd like to know, would you like to join our expedition and go over to it? And I said, yeah, you got to be kidding. And so he gave me a few other instructions, and he was going to rig me back with the details of how we would, you know, join up and go to Egypt. Well, I waited, and I didn't have his number back. In those days, I, you know, didn't have the kind of phone that keeps the number. And he never called back. I don't know why. If he did, it never got to me. But I marveled at that so many notable lights of the planet, you know, leaders, had copies of my book, and it was a blueprint for what would happen, what is happening now. And I, you know, I still look in the mirror and I say, why did they let you live? You know, maybe I spoiled the game back in 78 when I published it, and it delayed things. Maybe that's what it is. And so they just rearranged the game and went on. I don't know. But I've asked that question, and other people have talked to me about it and said, well, you know, why are you still here? I've never held anything back and not been told to speak. So
I think number one, I think you did things right, okay, upon publication. However, they're not hiding their agenda. They weren't back then, and they're not now. It's just more people are beginning to pay attention to it. And second of all, I think that the hand of God oftentimes protects, you know, his people. So that's kind of my thoughts, because I wondered the same thing when I first read that book. And this is a number of years ago. I think it was right after you released the final edition. So, but I'm telling you what, folks, if you haven't read it, please go to standeo.com and make sure you get a copy before you can't get a copy anymore, because it's really, it really kind of ties things together. And we're living that right now. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Well, anyway, on that theme there, slides 43 through 45 are about Alexander the Great and where his tomb might be and that kind of stuff. And I investigated the Duke of Edinburgh, the Prince Philip, the Queen's husband. Well, he's now passed, and he was, I think, 82nd in line as a direct descendant from Alexander the Great. So as a Greek, you know, Prince Philip was a Greek, he had a vested interest in finding out about, you know, the history of Alexander the Great, and where his tomb was, just for, you know, the sake of Greece and the history of Greece and things like that. But I'm pretty sure that area over there they were talking about is where his tomb is, Alexander's tomb is, because it was in Alexandria, or on the edge of it, which most of it is now sunken by the change in the sea level and the tsunami that hit that area and destroyed it. Now, you know, Prince Philip and Lord Mountbatten, I think he's the Queen's uncle or his uncle, something like that. The two of them were very much involved in the UFO investigation scene. Now, whether they got to the bottom of it to really know what the UFO situation was about, as I explained in The Cosmic Conspiracy, or not, I don't know. But once they had my book, they had the blueprint there, so they could go on and investigate, you know, using their own sources or resources. They are like, well, Prince Charles was very interested, but I think Prince Philip was probably the driving force behind all this, to find out all he could about the UFO situation. And he and Winston Churchill worked together on this. They were very curious about this. And Winston, you know, Mr. Churchill did what Prince Philip asked him to, and they shared information, mainly coming from Prince Philip and his resources. So when they're at that high a level, you know that, well, they have the power to stop this, but they didn't. They have encouraged it. And I'm pretty sure the reason is, as I stated in the book, they want to get the people of the earth, not the governments, but the people to want to overthrow all their governments and to be dissatisfied with their governments. And it took a lead up to that, a period of time, to cause crisis curves in the populations, you know, in their pocketbook, you know, diseases and war and this kind of stuff, to make all of the peoples of the earth distrust and want to overthrow their own governments in favor of a, you know, one world government that was friendly and had their best interests in mind, etc. We're at that point now. We're seeing numerous diseases, you know, pestilences hitting the planet. We're seeing the threat of nuclear war in the United States even, and certainly in Taiwan and Ukraine and parts of NATO. And we're seeing the collapse of the world economy. It's just a slow motion thing happening. All these crisis curves and others that I mentioned in the book, like overpopulation and resource depletion for food and water and that kind of stuff, all these things are coming to a head at once. We've had droughts, we've had bad weather and that kind of stuff, and we've had threats of war over the last 40, 50 years, but not all at the same time. Now they're all at the same time. And so I reflect on, you know, my life being involved in this. And like you said, I know the good Lord has his hand on me. I can think of one or two, three really good examples in my life where I knew that without the Lord being there, I'd be dead. And it was, you know, he was looking after me. And still does. So I guess, as you say, that's probably why they couldn't touch me or wouldn't touch me or were convinced that it wasn't necessary, because they had such control over the media and the minds of the people now that it didn't matter, that I would be just one of those right-wing Christian fundamentalist nuts. And maybe that's why they haven't done it. There's an interesting thing on the TV, on the satellite TV. I just looked at it yesterday. Ancient Aliens type show, where they, you know, for years have been interviewing people and researching various ancient civilizations and the alien presence. And I think it was a 4-hour presentation, and it seemed to tie everything together in the wrong way, saying, you know, the aliens are coming to help us, and you know, there were some bad ones, but now the good ones are taking care of us. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, for this to come out with such force and such a duration, such documentation, we must be at the very moment when they're going to announce the need for someone to help us. Will no one help us? You know, like the Masons say, well, no one help the widow's son, but it's a distress call. And with this Ukrainian, Russian, China, Taiwan, you know, situation and the pandemics, people are really frightened and looking for someone to solve the problem. So watch the news every day, because I'm sure it's going to happen one day. There will be a crisis point where if we don't do something, the world is going to implode. And this is when they will announce formally, and they're getting very close to it now, that we have had, you know, official contact and working with aliens on this planet. Now, I can tell you that, too, even though I didn't meet them, that our program dealt with these fallen ones, or aliens, as they call them. And this is going to be, it was, in fact, it was part of that 4-hour presentation. They were addressing it many times about, you know, Prince Philip and others who were joining this fight to let this information out to the people. And you think, well, gosh, if Prince Philip is letting it out to the people, he's part of the plan by now. And certainly what was happening before he died anyway, was that they were getting ready to officially say, yes, okay, we've been keeping it secret. But as the documentary said, it wasn't Earthmen keeping it from the people. It was the aliens who said it wasn't time, because people weren't ready to have them yet. And the moment for ready, I'm pretty sure, means when people are so disgusted with their own governments that they're ready to throw in the towel, you know, to wipe out their governments and become tribalist again because they're so disgusted. And they're so frightened because of the weapons and various other things that, that threaten the population of the planet now. So looking at all that, I can see that no matter what I said, the momentum of their control of the media and people has just kind of drowned my voice, you know, except for those people who would listen. So as you said to your listeners, buy the book and read the book and share it with your friends and neighbors who aren't yet believers and followers of Yeshua, because in the book on page 127, I have a little thing there that they can sign as they turn their life over to Jesus, to Yeshua, to run their lives and to protect them and to guide them in what is coming. And that's the whole purpose of that book, was page 127, save your soul. And so I implore you to get that book in the hands of people who will read about, UFOs and conspiracies and things. Oh, and how do we get out of this? How do we deal with it? It's a solution. So anyway, that's.
And I appreciate you for that, because at the end of the day, really, that's the only solution. Jesus is the only solution. And I believe that to be the case. But let me ask you this, and I know this probably is not where you want to go at all with this, but my first segment, the opening segment was, we've reached the limit with words, and kind of a playoff of what Tucker Carlson said yesterday in his monologue. But the fact is, when you're done, when you've got nowhere else to go with conversation, with dialogue, kinetic civil war, internal strife, whatever you want to call it, is inevitable, I believe. So is that a bad thing, though? I mean, I understand it's a bad thing, but is that necessarily a bad thing if you cannot have civil discourse with the people who are trying to destroy your country and kill you and imprison you because they want us arrested and killed, ultimately?
Will I stand up and defend my house, my family, and whatever against these invaders? Yeah.
Yeah.
To not do it, as the Bible says, is a sin. The head of your household, you must take care of your people against these threats. That's why you beat your plowshare into swords. It's the other way around. We've got to make swords or guns, whatever, and defend ourselves, because at this point, we don't have a government of the people or by the people or for the people in this country. And I just speak as an American, but I'm sure other countries, people feel that way, even though they may not have access to the resources they need to physically resist. And that's not attack, this is resist. And William Barrett Travis said at the Alamo, here's the line in the sand, you know, cross it if you're gonna be on this far, this side. And this is the line in the sand, and don't come after me. You're talking to the Mexicans at that time. I guess we're talking to them at that time now, because certainly most of the illegals we've got are from Mexico and from the drug cartels. But yeah, so I'm not going to sit here and do nothing. You're not going to sit here and do nothing. And I'm hoping the good Lord protects us in that, gives us success in what we need to do.
Amen.
Also, I hope that as Jesus said about his people in Babylon, which is modern America, there's no question about that, probably America and Europe and England together, rather, come up out of her, you know, come to me, come up out of her. So you can interpret that however you want. Does it mean a rapture? Does it mean come and join Jesus in your spirit, your mind, your soul? Whatever he said, come, not get out of Babylon, but come out of Babylon to me. In other words, he's saying, come to me somehow or another. So I bear that in mind, and yeah, we can either do that as soldiers, you know, resisting, or, from the grave if we die of other causes. It's a serious time, and there aren't very many of us anymore. The ministries are being attacked left, right, and center, as you know.
It's very true, you know, and that's why I've got a lot of respect for you and others like you. I really do. Very well grounded, having the knowledge the foundational knowledge to present what you present every week. And, you know, too, seeing what's going on in Davos now, seeing the protesters because, oh, climate change, it's a big deal now. Seeing about, well, we need control over pandemics like monkeypox, how everyone's been programmed. And you kind of came out initially to fight the programming that we're experiencing today. So thank you for doing that and really appreciate everything you've done. But go ahead. And I don't want to hijack your time. Go ahead.
Hey, and thank you back because you bring Steve Quill and me and others on and you contribute too. Alerting people is what's happening on a weekly and sometimes daily basis. And so your ministry is very important. You reach out to, you're a place where we can gather like a town hall and share these ideas and news.
Until we no longer can. And that's something that, again, I'm very concerned with. You know, the Ministry of Truth or the governance board by DHS, people say that that's on pause and stuff. You know what, Stan, I'm not so sure that that's just not being reconstituted sans Scary Poppins. I believe that this is still in effect, and they're going to double down on that because they never stop. They never stop what they're intending on doing. So anyway, yeah, until we can't anymore, here we are.
Yeah. I saw that Governor Abbott was very happy that a temporary fix to the Title 42 issue has been announced by, you know, adjudicated by a judge. I think it was a Louisiana judge, but I don't know how long that block will hold to at least keep Title 42 in action. But I'm pleased to see that at least that is temporarily, you know, happening.
So about that real quick, what do you make of the Department of Justice under, you know, Joey Sixplugs? What do you make with the Department of Justice, Merrick Garland actually filing suit against that decision? It blows my mind. I don't know.
They're just resisting, you know, they're the enemy and we're their enemy. And when we make a move that hurts what they're doing, they're going to strike back. I mean, they're like a nest of vipers. They're going to strike back. And right now they have so many vipers that one way or another, they're going to bring us down. And the Lord will avenge us. You know, and whether we're taken in the rapture or whether we sleep in the ground until he comes for us, vengeance is the Lord's. And defense is ours, but vengeance is the Lord's.
You know, I've got to keep reminding myself of that every single day. Maybe I'm exposing my frailties. I don't care. But boy, I'll tell you what, man, you know, talk about being PO'd. That's in my rearview mirror. And I want to. You know, I want a piece of people because of this, because of what they're doing to us and our children. And it's, and besmirching the memory of the people who've come before us, the heroes before us, but go ahead.
Yeah. I think about that, you know, daily when I go out in the front yard to get the mail or do something in the front yard where our flagpole is. And I watch the flag kind of waving there. It's getting a bit, faded now. And I think about all the guys that died to defend that flag and our rights. And I know that they've gone to the rest, but if they were here today, they would be ropeable. I think about my dad and Holly's dad. They would storm the Bastille. They wouldn't put up with this stuff. Our current generation, though, is just brainwashed. So they, you know, they're Casper Milquetoast. You know, they just,
you know, next, I got to tell you this too, because it might affect our schedule. I can't remember. Next month, I've got to attend a service at Arlington National Cemetery of a very, very close person who's close to us who passed away in December, being buried in Arlington in June, end of June. And, I think of it. I don't know if you've probably been to services at Arlington, but I got to tell you, it's sobering, and it brings you back to really the roots of freedom in this country. But go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'm sure that standing there amongst the gravestones that just go out forever, that it's an overwhelming experience. And you have to think about the people that have given their life in battle and then later from the wounds they've died defending our rights. And I just, my dad was an example to me. He was very brave. His brothers were too in the war. Dad, as I have on my page on our website there, let me see what it's called. You can read about this here. And
by the way, I love that page. And folks, go to standale.com. The link is in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Make sure you read this. It's fabulous.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't. Where did I put that? Anyway, I've got a subfield here on our website. Yeah, there it is. Go to standale.com. And up at the very top of the page, there's white lettering in a black background. And there's one that says Stan's Corner. And if you click on that, it will show Indiana Deo here. But it shows a selection of things down in little matrix down there. And the top one is a tribute to my dad, Harold S. Deo Sr. And you read about that and see what he did for 2 years after the war was over as a fake soldier. They were in Iran, and they were in Abadan, and they were holding the Russians back by bluffing them so the Russians couldn't come down and take the oil fields. But my dad and his American contingent and the British commander of that base, they pretended to be a formal, troops from either Britain or the United States. And for 2 years, instead of getting home to their families after the war was over, they stayed over there and pretended to be an American and a British presence to stop the Russians from moving in. And it may not seem like much, but when he hadn't seen his son, that was me, the number one son, and I'd been born and was 2 years old before I saw him, because staying over there to stop this, even against what the White House was doing at the time.
Wow.
Howard Hughes helped him, but
And Howard Hughes was involved in a lot of stuff back then. God bless your dad. And think about that. How many people today, how many young men today would be willing to not see their firstborn son or their number one son for 2 years, giving their blood, their sweat, their tears, their hard-earned efforts to their country? Does the country matter to people anymore? Does the nation matter? The spirit, what we stand for, what's embodied by the flag? So God bless your dad. I mean, and God bless you too. Both of you sacrificed a lot for our nation. Go ahead.
I was a cadet at the Air Force Academy, and did receive congressional appointment by Representative or Republican Bruce Alger from Texas. And it was my dream to be a jet jockey and eventually to go to the moon, or at least out into space as an astronaut. And I gave all that away fighting the U.S. Air Force there at the academy, stepping into academy, into cadet business, and getting rid of people they didn't like. If they were too short, German cadet, or if they were black, one of my very close friends, that kind of capped it when they accused him of a crime he didn't commit. And as an honor code representative for my squadron, I voted that he was innocent, and the U.S. Air Force came in and said, "Bulldust, we don't want him, kick him out." And a lot of others that they did that to. And so early in the game, I was seeing the rot in the Air Force. I don't know about the Navy and Army and all that. I'm sure they probably followed suit eventually. But just last week, I saw four Air Force Academy cadets who were to graduate. Three of them are going to give them their diplomas, but they can't receive it on the field. And they have to repay about $250,000 worth of expenses for the training they got at the Air Force Academy because they wouldn't take the COVID shot. And I'm just very disappointed in what our military has become. It's been corrupted so bad. I can't tell you. My lifelong dream was to do all that, and to walk away from it, to stand up for my principles, really, really hurt me, and it hurt my dad.
Wow.
And anyway, yeah. Back to news. Back to news. Hey, kind of an interesting thing. It's not world earth shattering, but slides 55 through 57, Eric, happened here at our house in the last 3 days. Slide 55 was the night, if you click on the picture, it was taken just off of our deck of our peppers, pet plants, and our tomato plants. On the left of the peppers and the right are the tomato plants. Now, it had started to snow by that time. We had an alert that there was probably going to be a chance of snow. And around here in Pueblo West, when they say a chance, you think, oh, you know, good luck. We're not going to get anything. Well, it started to snow. And so I stepped out on the porch. I'd put lights, these work lights that are like, you know, several hundred watts each, inside there to heat the tents over these plants to keep them from freezing and save them, which it did work. And the next morning, I got up in slide 56. If you click on that, Eric, that's what those beds looked like after the storm hit during the night. And it was a wet snowstorm, which weighted down tree branches. You can see out in the orchard there, there are new trees and old trees. The old trees had, you know, bigger branches and were heavy laden, and some of them broke off. In fact, right behind that brown tent there over the peppers, you see our crabapple trees just, you know, it broke a couple of branches on that. But the rest of the yard, if you click on the picture in slide 57, that's shots in the front and the back of the house showing all the other trees that were weighted down, the golden locust and the cottonwoods. You can see on the ground there at the bottom one, way down at the bottom there, Eric, you scroll down. You can see this cottonwood right outside our bedroom. There's two cottonwoods there, and they just drop branches everywhere up on the roof. And so yesterday we were busy collecting branches and repairing what we could. And it sort of slows you down a bit to have to go and do these things, but we did save our plants, and they're still under the tents at the moment because the temperatures are low. But we were in drought right for 3 years, and so we just never get rain anymore, and all of a sudden this dropped on us out of the sky, and it was interesting.
Yeah.
And in fact, that picture you're looking at there, it was out at the front of the house. That picture, when we walked over there with a broom to kind of get some of the snow off, we touched it, and just cascades of huge chunks of snow came down on us. It was it's the first time I'd ever been it's not an ice storm. It's a heavy snowstorm, I guess, is the thing. I don't know what to call it other than that. But anyway, that's just a light thing and some advice to people on how to protect your plants in this crazy weather. Crazy Man. Weather.
Yeah, we've been having just wild swings in temperatures, and it's just amazing what we're seeing. Kind of on a related note to that, I was watching some historical footage of newscasts back in the late 60s, and there was like this, I don't know, 15-second piece of news about Russia and the United States agreeing to withhold engagement in weather wars, which I thought, my goodness, it was almost like, oh, by the way, you know, it was like almost like a news filler in this newscast. And I saved it somewhere. I got to find it. But you would think that, okay, if they can manipulate the weather, why couldn't they fix the drought, droughts, plural, but I digress.
Well, no, look, I remember that. In fact, I may have mentioned that in the Cosmic Conspiracy from a 1972 newspaper article. It was front page at that time there in Perth, but about the U.S. and Russia signing a treaty to, you know, about weather warfare, what was fair and what wasn't. And, you know, that's going back quite a way. But if you look at the thing as a global situation, you got Russia, you got the United States, you got China, who are able to wage weather warfare. And if all of them are having weather warfare or are engaged in it, how do you coordinate what the U.S. is doing versus what Russia is doing versus what China is doing so that they don't overlap or interact and create a drought? You know, it's not a one-sided thing. If you don't have cooperation with these three superpowers who can do this, the results are going to be chaotic. And that's what we're seeing. Right. Localized weather warfare, like in Vietnam, where you kill a bunch of jungle with, you know, Agent Orange or whatever, and things like that, or withholding grain loans to India at the right time. These things, you know, are not weather per se, but they're hitting the food chain. These things can be done and are being done, but they do run into roadblocks, stumbling blocks. The best laid plans, you know, get kinks, you know, and I think that's what we're seeing here. And on top of that, the core of the Earth, the magnetic part of the core, has lobes, you know, kind of lumps in it. And these lumps are shifting as the magnetic field is drifting towards Siberia at 35 miles a year. So these things also affect the Earth currents and the surface of the Earth, which affect thunderstorms and where they go and how violent they are and what the charge of, you know, lightning and stuff is. People didn't realize that it was that controlled underneath our mantle, this controlled movements of our major weather storms. So that is something that's not being done by humans. It's a progress in the aging of our planet and its system. So when that magnetic field weakens, we lose our shield against a lot of the ultraviolet from the sun and cosmic radiation from deep space. And the shield, when it goes, it starts to kill plant life and people. And we're rapidly approaching the zero point for the shift over of our, you know, magnetic north and south pole. It's a major driver, and that you can't blame on human activity. It's just the way it is. Act of God.
You know, I think the climate change people, I think they're too full of hubris to think that they, you know, mankind can is completely and solely responsible for climate change. I think there's a level of hubris there that it shouldn't be there, but, you know.
How much time we got left here?
With me talking, we only have about 8 minutes, 7 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, quickly, then I want to get into something about the sun. We talk about climate and things like that. In slide 41, if you click on that, this is a snap I made of comparing the magnetic field of the sun from May 19th, 2011 to May 19th, 2021, just 10 years, right? And one of the things I want to show you about this is that in May 19 of those 2 years, in the left picture, you see purple, which was, let's call it North Pole of the sun, going up that way, and green going down to the lower right. And if you go over to the right picture there, which is 2021, May 19th, you'll see that the purple has become green and the green has become purple as the poles reverse during the solar cycle. And notice also in between these two polarities of the sun that the magnetic fields at the equator, or what is sort of the equator crossways to it, is bulging out left and right. Now, if you go back to slide 42 and click on that picture and compare May 19th of 2012 to 2022, can you pull that one up or not?
I think we can.
Yeah. Okay. There. And you need to maybe reduce the size a bit and pull it. There you go. Yeah. Okay. Now, this is right now, right? Well, May 19th, 6 days ago or so. And you look here and you see that the North Pole on the left, you know, the purple, is back in 2012, was getting weak at this time of the solar cycle, which is why we're comparing it. And you see active regions, those black and white dots on the surface of the sun. And you see the magnetic field is skew whiff. It's not squashed and out, you know, to the polar sides. If you go over to where we are now, 2022, there are bigger active regions, you know, more impressive. And the North Pole is kind of off kilter. It's sliding to the right here in the sun. So we're seeing this same kind of shift in the sun that we're seeing in the Earth's magnetic field. And if you compare the two, this is a period of time when we should have active regions, as it shows on the left picture. But these are bigger areas, and they're at a tilt that's greater, you know, than the one on the left. So anyway, the sun and its progress right now, it's still a problem, and we're seeing much more activity in the sun and the sunspots. So go down to slide 37 now quickly. That's showing what is coming around toward us. We're at the zero longitude right in the middle. It's pointing at us. And you can see a lot of the active regions that have been producing flares over the last 10 days is moving off the screen to the right as the sun rotates around. But we've got six, seven other areas now moving toward us. And the farmost one on the left side there at around 120, minus 120, that will be here within 7 days aimed at us. What we're seeing now is dark areas in the middle of the picture, which are coronal holes, which are throwing solar wind at us, in addition to what we're seeing in flares. I didn't record the flares, the animation of it this time, because it's just a repeat of what we've seen in the last few weeks. Just tremendous activity blowing off of the sun. Temperature of the people, you know, are people frightened at the moment of nuclear war or whatever? Slide 48, click on the picture. This is from a site called Nuke Map, N-U-K-E Map. And they have a service, which is a free thing. You can pick your city where you want to see what would happen if a bomb of a certain strength were to explode over that city. And it shows you the rings of how far out the damage would go, what kind of damage. And what I've done here is I've shown from their site, if you click the top part there where there's an activity map from January to April this year, you can see that they hit 7 million users in that period of time, suddenly wanting to know whether we're going to get killed by nukes when the Ukraine issue started in late January. And so you can see here that people were really scared to death. Are we going to get bombed? Are we going to get blown up, et cetera, et cetera? And of course, looking at the maps down below, I use Denver as an example, and you can see if it's an airburst in the top part, what it would look like, how far it would go just to the other side of Castle Rock. And if it were a land explosion, if it landed and then blew up, how the debris would spread over toward Nebraska and places kind of north of there. Anyway, interesting tool, but the fact that so many people dived into it tells us that they were really worried about being hit by a nuclear attack, one of the crisis curves that will drive us into a new world order.
And you had a lot of Dr. Strangeloves in the party of Davos and the World Economic Forum, the people who want to reset our planet. And it's just amazing what we're seeing. And that's interesting, though. Real quick, that's really interesting where people now are starting to focus in on that possibility. And you know, man, okay. Okay.
Well, you've seen it. You've seen it. How many people are getting our EMP shields and stuff now? I mean, you know, lots of them. So they've suddenly realized it's time. Very, very quickly, just kind of an encouraging thing in one respect, slide 54, where the Republican candidate over in Georgia, Candace Taylor, says that if she gets elected, she's going to demolish the Georgia Guidestones, as they are a satanic, you know, an evil thing there, and she's going to get rid of them. It probably won't win the election for her, but I thought it was a noble, brave thing to say, you know.
I'm on board. I'll bring my sledgehammer down there and give it a swing. Your tech will too, and you can ride shotgun. So.
All right, right, absolutely. Well, and whether you see it, whether we talk about it now or not, slide 50 talks about millions of Americans are facing major power blackouts this summer. We're already getting them here in Pueblo West. Usually about 2:30 in the afternoon on the hot days, the power goes out and we have to switch over to solar. So we're aware of it when it happens because everything starts to jitter, computers and TVs and everything. But it's starting, and it's not even the hot part of the summer yet.
That's to me, that's I don't want to say frightening, but that's disturbing at multiple levels. Stan, I want to thank you. You know what? You are really an asset to this platform and to the people, the listeners and viewers of this show. And I want to thank you for everything you do. And again, thank you for writing Cosmic Conspiracy. Thank you for doing all the research you've done. And folks, please, Stan has, of course, a Patreon. And this is a way to support Stan and his work. Go to standale.com and make sure you take part in this Patreon and support Stan. But I really appreciate what you do, my friend. And thanks for putting up with my, verbosity today.
No, it was interesting. I learned a bit there, and I do sympathize and join with you in these thoughts. It's
yeah.
Terrible, terrible yeah. time.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us. Thank you, Stan.
Thank you.
All right. Stan Dale from standale.com, a heck of a guy. I'll tell you what, man, support him. And, hey, Cosmic Conspiracy, more relevant today than it was when it was written, perhaps, if that's possible. All right, folks, that'll do it for me tonight. Again, tomorrow, I'm sure if I'm going to make it back based on but you know what? So I only say that in the event that I don't and, you know, we're dark tomorrow. You'll know the reason why. Still to be seen. All right, folks. Hope you felt this was a good show. May God bless. Have a good night.